and welcome to our third and final installment actually of CCC 101. And this is where we spend our time talking about partnering in mission and ministry with CCC. So let's, while we get started, actually, and it didn't come out last week, but before we get started, why don't we just go around and I'll repeat for the recording. It's just how you find out about CCC and one thing that you like about CCC. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. So why don't we start over here with Annette and Mike. Yep, okay. So they found out about CCC through membership. And one thing is there one thing you can find that you like about CCC? It's just a family. Good. Okay. Wonderful family. Good. Okay, so why don't we go back over here to you guys? Okay. And does everybody know Jason and Trenna? So this is Jason and Trenna. And you guys came through the Coopers? Okay, great. And okay, so let's start over here. Okay, good. And one thing you like about CCC? People? Praise and worship? Awesome teaching. Yeah, the awesome teaching. Awesome pastor. No, I'm just kidding. You can cut that out. And let's go back over here. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's Jake and Tara. Yes. And then? Okay, good. Okay. So she came back through family. That was Janice. Shouldn't say names. Janice Lyric. And she is the biggest draw is the children's ministry. Okay. And then last but not least. Good. And that's Vanessa Albertson. Okay. So today, like I said, we're going to go basically talk about the history of the church and what it means to partner with CCC. And then what I'll give you at the end is two things. One, if you would, before you leave today, you fill out a form that just basically is just a review of the class. And let me know if there's anything I can do to restructure that or change that. That would be helpful. And then the other one is the application for becoming part of CCC. And I'll go over that when I hand that out. Okay? So if you look on the beginning of session 3, I'm just going to highlight the history of CCC. We are the oldest fellowship in town. It began in 1936 when some women started a Sunday school meeting for children and a Bible study for adults. And they actually were meeting up on Crossman Ridge, and I think in the mornings and then the evenings they would come down and down to the beach. And so they would have on both sides of town. In 1940, they called Carl Taylor to be the first pastor. He came up as a missionary, and he so technically he was the first pastor. In 1978, CCC added a Christian school, and they added that last wing. And then when I came here, we closed it down after the first year, just for a number of reasons. And so from its beginning, CCC has always had an emphasis on teaching and preaching and missions. Alaska Bible Institute grew out of CCC. We've had missionaries that have gone through the villages and across the nations. And I think this actually needs to be updated. Currently, I think it's about 16 or 17% of our actual giving that comes into the church goes out to missions. And so, and our goal is 20%. So we're actually increase that every year until we hit 20%. And then we'll actually reevaluate that and see if we want to increase that more. So our mission, the way the CCC has done missions, when I first came here, we were supporting everybody and their brother. And we were giving them, I think, basically $100 or so a month. And so and there was people that we had no contact with and no relationship. We didn't even know if they existed or not. And so when, after the first couple of years, we got settled in, we basically restructured the giving and started focusing on the people that we had the most connection with and three countries. And we were doing the Philippines, India, and Peru. And those are still the three areas that we actually are doing, actually, except for Philippines now, because technically we're still doing the Philippines, because some of those missionaries have come back, and some of them are not on the field anymore. So, and then we also have a focus on the state of Alaska, and that's actually increasing, and in the city of Homer. Okay? So we're an independent church. We are self-governing. We are governed by elders, but we are connected to a larger church of families called Life Links International. Okay? So there's four things that unite us as a church family: our salvation, that is the relationship that we share in Christ; statement, that is the purpose we share together. That would be our statement of faith. Our strategy, how we fulfill that purpose. And then our structure, when and where we fulfill our purpose. Okay? And so our statement of faith is what we believe. In essentials, we believe. In essential beliefs, we have unity. So there's unity on the, basically, what I would say is that what all Christian denominations or all Christian groups that would be orthodox, what we believe in. And so there has to be unity on that. And if you know just recently that there's been an issue because one of the pastors in town is teaching something that goes contrary to Scripture. And so we actually pulled out of being involved in One Lord Sunday. One of the reasons why we did that was because of that issue. So there's unity in the essential beliefs. In the non-essential beliefs, we have liberty. In the non-essential beliefs, we have liberty. And so what I like to say is that there's this kind of black and white line of the circle. There's this black circle that has a big edge around it. And that is what is orthodoxy. And so that is, you have to be in that to be part of CCC, members of CCC. Okay? But within that, there is a dotted line that is a smaller that we would have that would still be within orthodoxy, but that would be, there would be disagreements, so there would be different perspectives on it. So there would be lots of that. So like on the view of the sovereignty of God, or the view of election or predestination, or the view of the charismatic gifts, that would fall into the non-essentials where we have liberty, or even the return of Christ, those kind of things. So in all of our beliefs, we show charity. We show charity. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing." And so in those things that we disagree in, we want, that are within Orthodox Judeo, historical Judeo-Christian beliefs, we want to have liberty. We want to have love be the thing that holds us together, that we can agree to disagree. Even within the elder board, there are things that we disagree on that those guys are wrong about, and they don't have clear understanding. No, I'm just kidding. That we disagree on, but we agree to disagree on those things. Okay? So I am not going to go over the actual statement of faith. I want you to read that on your own. It is a basic, generic statement of faith statement that would not take any strong stands on anything that would be narrow. Okay, so like there, for instance, we're very general on the return of Christ. We're very general on salvation, or actually be more specific on salvation. But it is just, it's like I said, it's just a generic statement of faith that all churches would agree in. Okay. The mission and the vision of CCC. Mission defines our purpose. Mission defines our purpose. As a worshiping community, this is our mission statement. As a worshiping community, we seek to transform lives by winning people to Jesus Christ, training them to be followers of Jesus Christ or Christ, and sending them for local and global impact. So transform lives by winning people, training them, and sending them. In short, we seek to win, train, and send. Win, train, and send. And so really, the mission of all churches, mission of the church, and the mission of each one of us is to make disciples. That's what Jesus said. The last thing he gave his disciples, which were represented the church, was to make disciples. And so all of us are called to make disciples. And that's really what we're talking about there, is that our goal, our desire, and that we are working at, is helping every single person who calls CCs their home is to be a disciple, that is to be a follower of Christ, and then also to equip us to make disciples of other people. And that's basically influencing them into Christ-likeness. Oftentimes people get intimidated, they get fearful, so, you know, how do I do that? It's really just life on life and relationships, sharing what Christ has taught you and sharing that with other people. Because all of us need to be conformed to the image of Christ, okay? And so it's our desire to make disciples one person at a time. And so our definition of a disciple comes from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so from that passage, we define a disciple as someone who knows and follows Christ. Someone who knows and follows Christ. Okay? And so for my understanding of obedience to Christ as a follower of Christ is that it is not a duty, it is a delight. If my heart has been so radically changed and transformed by Christ, I delight, as a general rule, I delight to follow Christ. And so obeying Christ is not a burden, it's not a drudgery, it's not something I have to fight for, but it's something I naturally want to do. Now, do we all obey Christ 100%? No, we don't. But the general tenor of our posture of our heart is to obey and follow Christ. So knows and follow Christ. Second of all, they're being changed by Christ. We are being changed by Christ. That's where Jesus said, "I will make you." So we're being changed by Christ. And then gives themselves to the mission of Christ, and that is making disciples. We give ourselves to the mission of Christ. And so discipleship is an intentional relationship, discipleship relationship with somebody else. And so what Christ calls all of us to do is not just to be a disciple, but also to, as God brings people into our lives, or we see people that have need to know Christ better, and God puts us into their lives, is that we have an intentional relationship in which we seek to point them to Christ in Christ-likeness. Okay? So mission, the mission of Christ is central to everything we do, and it's the focus of everything we do and everything that we want to accomplish. And so I see ourselves as a group of people who live on mission, or we are really missionaries here. So Christ, when he calls us to himself, so he calls us to the mission of Christ. And so each one of us are to live as missionaries in Homer. So you may have come to Homer for lots of different reasons. But if you're a follower of Christ, I know one of the reasons why he called you to Homer, has you here, is so that you would share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with others and help them along into Christ-like character. Okay? So our vision defines our strategies. So how do we win, train, send, and make disciples of one? No, this is what we believe God has called us to do. So to win, we desire to be a community of God's people that defines itself and organizes itself around its purpose of being an agent of God's mission in the world. That's just what I was describing, is to fulfill the mission of Christ. All churches do that differently, but every church is called to make disciples in a relational context. We do that by seeking positive ways to be a presence in Homer. Seeking positive ways to be a presence in Homer. And so we do that by getting involved in organizations that are already doing good things in Homer. There's no reason for us to recreate the wheel if there's other organizations that are doing stuff in Christ. Other organizations that are doing good stuff. And so we don't need to create another food pantry. Or we don't need to create a secondhand store or anything that's meeting the social needs of our the Homer. We can get involved and partner and be a light to those organizations that are already involved. And so what we encourage you to do is to get involved in those organizations that are already doing good things. Second of all, get involved with organizations. Second of all, get involved with the community. Get involved with the community. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about adding something to your schedule. What I am talking about is that in your present involvement in the community, find ways that you can make an impact. So, for instance, if your kids are involved in sports, that is going to be one of the arenas in your life where you're going to be a missionary to that group of people that may not have any other contact with another Christian or with Christ. And so if your kids are involved in sports, then that is your mission field. And so you talk to your kids about making an impact. And talk to your kids about, it's not just about baseball. Like we're starting baseball season. It's not just about baseball. It's about other kids needing Jesus and other families needing Jesus. And so praying and asking the Lord to put people on your heart and making connections with maybe a family that's part of the baseball league. And that you start building a relationship with them so that you can share the gospel with them. Or, you know, what other organization that you're involved in, I'm involved with the NRA. Part of the reason why I'm involved with the NRA is so that I can make a contact with a whole group of people I would have no other relationship with. I was on the board of the Kachemak Bay State Parks for several years. Actually, I chaired the board for several years. Part of the reason why I did that was to make a contact and relationship with a whole group of people that I would never necessarily have contact with. Same reason, part of the reason why I play racquetball is not just for my health, but it's also to make an impact and to make connection with a segment of the population that I would never have contact with. And so the goal is just not about doing good. The goal is not just not about being involved in sports or being involved in the community because you want because you're a community-oriented person, but it's about the mission of God and reaching out to people who face a Christless eternity. Okay? And then second of all, by building relational proximity with all sorts of local people. Basically, what that means is just that you are proactively involved in relationships with people who don't know Christ. So this is what I would challenge you to do, is establish a friendship with one person or one family this year who doesn't know Christ and invite them into your life. And so for instance, if you're involved in, let's use the baseball thing. So if you're involved in baseball, are your kids involved in baseball or not yet? Okay. So let's just do this. So if your kids are involved with baseball, so you just say, okay, say, Lord, who do I naturally connect with in the baseball field? Who do my kids naturally connect with? And look for doors and opportunities just to spend time with them. And so that would be saying, hey, do you guys want to come over and do barbecue with us? We're doing a barbecue on Friday night, or you just have a barbecue and invite them over, and you begin to develop relationship with them so that you have the opportunity to share Christ with them as the time, as they open up, okay? So one person or family from this year that I would encourage you, challenge you to develop a connection and relationship with the goal of sharing the gospel with them. Okay? See activities as opportunities to develop relationships. It's basically everything I've been saying is that realizing that God has put us into Homer to make an influence on Homer. And so when I go to the coffee shops, I'm looking for people to connect with. When I'm going to the grocery store, I'm looking for people to connect with that I may see or may have a contact with on a regular basis. And when I'm playing racquetball, I play racquetball with the same people every week. So I have contact with them every week. And then include others in your life. That is, so in the things that you're doing, include other people. So when I go fishing, I regularly try to include people that I would normally not have any contact with so that I can have some time on the river with them. And so the natural people would be your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your kids, families, those kind of people. Okay? And then third, boldly proclaiming the gospel to those who do not yet know Christ. Boldly proclaiming the gospel to those who do not yet know Christ. At some point, we need to share the gospel. At some point, we need to tell people that they are separated from Christ and that they need the gospel. So we look for opportunities to share the gospel. You look for opportunities to share the gospel. And then develop intentional opportunities to share the gospel. And so if someone is going through a crisis in their life, you can ask them, hey, do you ever pray? Or if you know somebody that's facing death, you can ask them, hey, do you ever think about life after death? Or if they have little kids and you say, have you ever thought about what you're purposely thought about how you're going to morally train your kids? And if they say, well, no, and say, hey, I've got a great church that we have our kids involved in. Or if they're going through a struggle in life, you say, have you ever prayed about that? Or have you ever thought about asking God to help you in that? So, for instance, I just had a guy I was talking to just the other day, came in. Actually, this came in. So he came to me. He's an alcoholic. He's obviously an alcoholic, living on the street in Homer. Wasn't looking for money. Wasn't looking for anything. He just feels lost. He lost his fiancée in December. He was supposed to get married January 1st. He had 3 or 4 family members die in the last couple of years. And he feels lost and disenchanted about life. And so I asked him, I said, you know, do you have any kind of a spiritual background? And his spiritual background is that he is his own God until recently. He said, I would always say that I'm my own God. But I realized that that's not a good enough answer. I realized that that's not getting me anywhere. So I asked him about, because he talked about being an independent person. He talked about, I'm an independent person, I can get this. And I said, well, it doesn't look like that's doing very well for you right now. And I asked him about his drinking. I said, you say you're an independent person, but you're depending on alcohol to deal with life. Because then that's obvious you're depending on alcohol. So you say one thing, but you're inconsistent on that. And I said, all I'm saying is that there is somebody else that can help you deal with your pain and your suffering and your difficulties. Because alcohol is going to leave you empty. And it's already messing up your life. And so I just basically took his situation and tried to find common ground with him. That is, what are the things that we have in common, and help him to see the inconsistencies of the way he was thinking about life and his own need and where his life choices were taking him. Okay? So any questions on that so far? Okay? So that's when we seek to transform lives through three basic environments. Through large settings where we gather as a worshiping community through meaningful worship, expository preaching that shapes both the mind and the heart, and other creative means of communication. And then through mid-sized settings. So we have Sunday morning, which is our large group meeting. That's where everybody gathers. And then we have different trainings throughout the year where we have either Sunday school, or we do workshops, or we do weekend seminars, or in the past we've also participated with the other churches in Homer to have somebody come in that would be on a national level to help train the body of Christ. And so we do that periodically. And then the third means of training is through small groups, where we're gathering together in small intimate groups of 10 to 12, 15 people, where we can get to know one another on an intimate basis and have community with them, and where we can shepherd and pastor everybody. Because what I believe that all of us have the ability to shepherd each other. That it's not just me, or it's not just the elders, but all of us, as the followers of Christ, are equipped to help others grow in Christ's likeness. So the mid-sized groups would be Sunday school, and the life development process, and electives. And then the small settings would be life groups where sharing, caring, and shepherding take place. Okay, did everybody get all those fill-ins? Okay, send. We desire to send out transformed followers of Christ who give their lives away to the mission of the gospel, both locally and globally. Okay, so again, we work with organizations within our community, serve our community. We have formal partnerships between CCC and local organizations. We have formal partnerships, so where we support or we're actively involved, and so that would be the food pantry or the pregnancy care center. And then we have informal partnerships with local organizations, and so that would be one. Informal relationships are where people in our body have passions or gifts or desires to help in certain areas in certain organizations, and so they would be involved in those organizations, and we encourage you to be involved in those organizations, because Jesus says we are light. And so as we are light, we are displaying the gospel wherever we go. We desire to partner with like-minded ministries in the mission of God locally and globally. So we have partnerships between CCC and mission organizations to serve locally and globally. We have partnerships between CCC and mission organizations. And we have focus on specific geographical areas. And so that's where I shared the three countries that we're involved in, as well as Alaska. And I actually just, for school, I had to interview some churches on discipleship. And so one of I found some churches that have gathered together and form an organization called Plant, I think Plant AK or Plant Alaska. And so basically what they're doing is they're saying, we want to partner with like-minded, gospel-oriented churches to plant churches in Alaska. And so I've actually made some contact with them, just another organization where we can partnership with them in planting churches in Alaska. Then third, we desire to provide short-term and long-term local and global mission experiences. So provide yearly short-term mission opportunities and then send out long-term missionaries. And so short-term mission opportunities, we actually haven't done that in the last couple of years. I have not done that, taking groups, but Seth takes youth group out every year to Yuzinki. Okay? So let's look at the three CCs of Christian Community Church. At CCC, everything we do revolves around the three C's: to celebrate, connect, and contribute. Celebrate, connect, and contribute. We believe that these are three key experiences that give you the optimal journey toward a dynamic and transforming relationship with Christ. As you move from the crowd to the core, you explore what these core commitments mean and check out how you can participate in them along with other disciples. Okay? First of all, contribute. We impact our world as we contribute weekly to God's work using our time, our talents, and our treasures. Second of all, just celebrate the grace of God and what He is doing in our lives and in our church. Okay? Celebrate the grace of God in our lives and what He's doing in our lives and in our church. Third, connect. Plug into what God is doing at CCC. So connect is the second C at CCC. We can connect together weekly in life groups, small Christian communities in which we grow together spiritually and develop meaningful relationships and experience genuine community. Okay, so life groups offers the opportunities to grow deeper in your relationship with God, connect with others at CCC, and expand our vision of what God is doing through and in your life. Okay, so let me just ask you there, because I think that, so celebrate was the first one? Okay, and then connect was the second one? Okay, so then I had contribute down twice. Okay, so contribute. Third is discover and use your unique talents, treasures, and time. Use your unique talents, treasures, and time. So the third C at CCC is to contribute. It reflects our commitment to helping you discover your God-given talents and experience the joy of contributing to God's work. There's nothing better and more exciting than letting God use you exactly where He has gifted you to serve. At CCC, we take the time to help you discover how you're wired to serve, give you the training you need, and many creative opportunities to serve. This is a huge part of our commitment to your spiritual growth as a follower of Christ, to help you discover more deeply who you are and how you fit into CCC. We offer a series of courses and resources to help you through our life development process. We're always looking ways to innovative ways to minister to community and beyond. Okay, so how many of you know your spiritual gifts? Does everybody know your spiritual gifts? And so if you don't know your spiritual gifts, you and I are called to use our spiritual gifts. God has blessed each one of us with spiritual gifts. I provided that link on our Facebook page, and I think it was also in the bulletin for several weeks. It's a 15-minute test, and it'll give you an idea of your spiritual gifts and using your spiritual gifts and how God has wired you, your gifts and your abilities will brings great joy in our lives, and it's actually we're called and we're commanded to use our spiritual gifts. If you, as a follower of Christ, are part of CCC and you're not using your spiritual gifts, that means we are not functioning as well as we can. It's like having the football team or the basketball. Let's just have the basketball team. Instead of having five players out on the court, we only have four players out on the court. Okay? So I'm going to encourage you to get involved in using your gifts and abilities. Okay? So let's look at our structure. Ephesians 4:11-12, Paul says, God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service or works of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, at CCC, we see that the people are the ministers and the pastors are the equippers. People are the ministers and the pastors are the equippers. And so this is basically our structure. We have an elder board who oversees all areas of the church. They focus on the pastoral or the governing and the spiritual issues of the church, but they're the ultimate final authority. So they oversee ultimately everything. Okay? Then we have the pastors who oversee all the areas of ministry. And under the elders, you see that we have an advisory board who they would deal with all the managerial issues of the church. So they help deal with all the managerial or business areas of the church. And they're made up of people who are involved in ministry and leadership, and then also people from the body. Okay? Any questions on the church structure? Okay? Church covenant, I'll let you read that on your own, but basically this would be what you're committing to if you become a member of CCC, but we're running out of time, so we need to kind of quickly go through this last section. So, to become part of CCC, this is what you're committing to. I will protect the unity of my church. I will protect the unity of my church. And we do that by acting in love toward other members of CCC, acting in love towards other members. By refusing to gossip and resolve conflicts quickly. By refusing to gossip and resolve conflicts quickly. And by following the leaders. By following the leaders. Second of all, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth and its leadership. I will share responsibility of my church by praying for its growth and leadership, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by giving regularly, sacrificially. Everybody keep up with that? And then I will serve the ministry of my church. I will serve the ministry of my church. That is by discovering my gifts and talents. And I think that's actually where you have that link there again, where you can take a test for gifts. By being equipped to serve by my pastors, by developing a servant's heart. By developing a servant's heart. And then fourth, I will support the testimony of my church by faithfully attending Sunday services, by participating in a life group, by living a growing and godly life. By living a growing and godly life. And then fifth, I will support the mission of my church. I will support the mission of my church. Oh, you know what? Let me get on that last one. I missed by warmly welcoming those to visit. Warmly welcoming. So let me tell you, this is a great opportunity. During the break time, instead of going to the people you know and that you like and your family and your friends, let me encourage you to in your section, so if, wherever you sit in your section, is to look for new people and say hi and talk to them. And then do this. Introduce them to somebody else right next to them. So that they not only make a connection with you, but then now they're making a connection with somebody else. Or if you, so for instance, introducing them to somebody that they could connect to. So for instance, there was a couple that were coming to the church for a while. They were kind of sporadic. But when they first came, he was did husbandry. Husbandry, right? So that's where you take care of horses. So he was new in town. Actually, they had a business in Florida where, you know, there was tons of horses and it was in a concentrated area. And they moved up here and there's horses, but there's not a ton of horses and it's not in a concentrated area. So he was going all over the place for husbandry. And so I introduced him to Renee Edom, who has horses and who is connected with a lot of other people who have horses because she's involved with, the riding stable, and she takes care of other people's horses, just to help them make a connection with somebody else. And so what I try to do is when I find somebody new is I try to find out, okay, something about them and who would they connect to with somebody else in the church and introduce them to that, okay? And then fifth, I will support the mission of my church. I will support the mission of my church by participating in a life group, by participating in a discipling relationship, and by making myself available to disciple others as I mature in Christ. Okay? So you have this discipleship wheel, right? Is that the last thing that we have in there? You got that discipleship wheel? Okay, so this is, I got this from a book that was, I thought was very helpful. And basically, there's this wheel, and this is kind of like a growth wheel. And so as we become Christians, before we're Christians, we're dead. And so the goal, what we need before we come to know Christ is to hear the gospel. And so if we have relationship with people that don't know Christ, our goal should be is to share the gospel with them. Okay? And when they come to faith, we describe them as what? Baby Christians, right? Because they're infants. And so what they need is Bible knowledge, Bible truth, knowing how to share the good news, and then knowing how to grow in Christ. But this is the deal. You can be a Christian for 10 or 20 years and still be an infant because you've never grown and because you've never pursued. Okay? So, is it dead? Okay. Then if you keep going down the wheel, then we're children. And what children need to do is they need to connect with other Christians. So they need to connect with God. They need to connect with a small group for family. And then you need to connect them with a purpose. They need to know their purpose. And that would be through gifts and stuff like that. And then as they grow and as they mature, then they're young adults. And what they need to be is equipped for ministry, provide ministry opportunities, and they need to be released into ministry. And then last is disciple maker. And that would be an adult. In adults, what they naturally do is when they get married is they what? Reproduce. And so the goal for all of us is to reproduce. And so let me encourage you, ask you, where are you on that wheel? Not where you should be, or not where you think you are, but where are you? I was talking to somebody this last week who's been a Christian for several years, and they found out in the context of their work, when people asked them about God, all they could share about was their experience. They didn't know the Bible good enough to be able to share the gospel with them or even share the Bible with them. And it made them aware of how deficient they were. So this person has been a Christian for several years, but they realize that they're still an infant and that they need to grow because they don't have basic Bible information. Okay?